The story of Hagar and Ishmael is, I think, a fascinating one. It's also often overlooked in the whole sweep of the book of Genesis. Let me remind you of the background before today's reading. Hagar is the Egyptian servant girl of Sarah. And you may remember that Sarah and Abraham both are well beyond childbearing years. And so at some point, in order for Abraham to have a son, Sarah gives her servant girl Hagar to him so that she can bear a son, an heir for Abraham. But as soon as Hagar becomes pregnant, Sarah begins to rethink this decision and regret it. She gets jealous of Hagar, and Hagar runs away. Today's reading is not the first time that Hagar has been out in the wilderness. She runs away, pregnant and confused, and God meets her in the wilderness and says to her, "Hagar, go back to Sarah and Abraham, for you will bear a son, and I will make a nation out of him, and I will be with you." And what's particularly interesting is Hagar has this very intimate conversation with God and even calls him by name. One of the first people in Scripture to call God by name. She calls him El Roy, the God who sees, for God has seen her there in her distress. So Hagar goes back to Sarah and Abraham, and her son Ishmael is born. Ishmael, whose name means God hears. Now then, you may remember, Sarah and Abraham get some good news. And if you want to hear that story, come to Vacation Bible School tomorrow night. That's the scripture reading. It's the visitors coming to Abraham and Sarah and telling Sarah she will have a son. You may remember Sarah laughs. That's why Isaac is named Isaac. He laughs. Now, once Isaac is born, though, these troubles between Sarah and Hagar reappear. Now, there are two heirs to Abraham. And in today's reading, we get this confusing phrase that says Ishmael played with Isaac. Now, some renderings of the Hebrew word there can mean he taunted Isaac or he was making fun of him. But it could just be he's playing with him. And seeing the two together reminds Sarah that now there are two heirs and the younger is her son. So she says to Abraham, "Get rid of Hagar and of Ishmael. I want my son Isaac to be your heir." And that's where our story begins today. Hagar goes out in the wilderness again, and yet again encounters God. Now the story ends with Ishmael growing up and settling there in the wilderness. And Ishmael's an interesting figure because he is revered by all three of the main religious bodies in this world. Jews, Muslims, and Christians all look to Ishmael. Ishmael did go on to be the father of a nation. He had 12 sons. Interesting number there, mirroring the 12 tribes of Israel. Ishmael goes on to have a daughter as well who will marry Esau. Interestingly enough, these two sort of outcast older sons. Ishmael is traditionally thought to be the father of the Arab peoples. And one other interesting thing about Ishmael, the nation that he becomes the father of, the Ishmaelites, play a very minor but important role later in Genesis. It is Ishmaelites who transport Joseph into Egypt, which becomes very important because if they would not have done that, there would be no Israelites in Egypt and no Moses to come save them. So the Ishmaelites play a minor but crucial role. Anyway, all of this is to say, Ishmael and Hagar still have a role. But I've got to admit, even knowing how the story plays out, I find the story of Hagar and Ishmael rather troubling. It's troubling on a number of levels. For one thing, Hagar is such a model of strength and faith and perseverance. And Sarah is not. I mean, Sarah comes across in these stories as rather mean, vindictive, jealous. And yet, she and Abraham are the chosen ones. And it's through Sarah that the chosen line of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph will come. But it seems so arbitrary, doesn't it? Hagar seems like the much better person. I almost wish God had said to Abraham, you know what? Send Sarah into the wilderness and you take Hagar. But God doesn't. He sends Hagar away. Notice, it's also interesting, I think. You know, God is pretty smart. Notice what God says to Abraham. Just do whatever your wife wants. It's almost like God is saying, I will forgive, but I'm not sure about Sarah. So just do what she wants. But it's troubling to me. Why choose Sarah and Isaac over Hagar and Ishmael? It's troubling. It seems so arbitrary. It's the same trouble I have with the doctrine in our Presbyterian Calvinist Reformed tradition of election. It's the same idea that God elects certain people for salvation. And then the other side of that coin, double election, which then reminds us God chooses some people not to be saved. That's troubling. It seems so arbitrary. The same with Hagar and Ishmael. Why send them off? I don't know. The why of all this is beyond me. But God has God's reasons. And although it's troubling, it's important to note God does bless Hagar and Ishmael. God does hear them in the wilderness. That's where the psalm comes in this morning. The psalm which says, "Incline your ear to me, O Lord. Listen when I call. Be my salvation. Be my protection." And that's what God does with Hagar and Ishmael. God hears Hagar. God answers. God protects them. God sends that miraculous well in the wilderness to give them water. God does keep his promise to Hagar and to Ishmael. And that may be the bedrock lesson of the story of Hagar and Ishmael. We don't understand the way God works all the time, but God does work. And notice the psalm is clear when it says, all who call upon God will get an answer. It may not be the answer they want to hear. The answer may be, go back to this Sarah who treats you badly. Or go out into the wilderness. I'll be with you. But God does listen. God does respond. God does look out for the outcast and the rejected. God does look out for the least among us. That's what lies behind the story of Hagar and Ishmael. There is blessing, even for those who are rejected and outcast and overlooked. It still troubles me, this story of Hagar. But let's be honest, there's a lot of things in this world that trouble me, that I don't understand the whys and wherefores of. But God is with us. And God walks with us, and God hears and sees and blesses. That's the message of the story of Hagar. God works in mysterious ways, sometimes troubling ways, but God works. And it may not be a particularly satisfying story, the story of Hagar and Ishmael, that God will let you be sent out into the wilderness. That God may let you be rejected or feel lost, but God will be with you. That may not be truly satisfying. But when you find yourself in the wilderness, when you are feeling rejected and outcast, that message may be just what you need to hear and remember. Amen.